to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. So, we got some elections coming up.
Yes, some primaries, August 9th.
We got some
Where
primaries.
Will you be? I will be behind a elections table.
Registering people to vote or checking people in.
Yeah, checking people in.
I will be...
giving people a sticker. That's always fun. The stickers don't stick. If you bring tape, you know, because the stickers could be stickier. I'm just going to say that. I think they could be stickier.
What was I just listening to that there was a, I think I was listening to Love It or Leave It, and there was some county that's did a...
Oh, the sticker contest?
The sticker
with
contest.
Weird spider
and now there's
thing?
A weird spider that's
yes,
going to be on the,
I like that.
The voting.
That
I actually
rocks.
Like that as a civic engagement opportunity.
Yeah,
it's like
it probably works.
Design the get out the vote sticker.
Yes.
This year, like I voted sticker this year,
yeah.
And take submissions from fifth graders.
Yeah,
the state will probably
ban that. They're probably going to ban stickers soon. I'm thinking, you know, that could be a thing that they do.
Ban the stickers, ban the ballot boxes.
It's just like, well, just now we're really worried about these
you're
stickers.
You're incentivizing yes. The wrong people to vote by giving out those stickers. God. All right. Anyways, so we've talked about the primaries a fair amount on here. But interested to see if you have any interesting hot takes. I mean, I kind of, as we've seen this week, yesterday, Mr. Tom Nelson
dropped out.
And so not that he was, at least if you're following the polls, was polling super high to have known how much of a difference it was going to make.
But it still matters.
It still matters.
Presumably, this means more, he throwing his support behind Barnes means more votes for Barnes from the sort of progressive wing. I mean, I sort of see it as like Barnes having consolidated both some, I think, moderates within the party and progressive. I mean, the fact that he's, endorsed by somebody like House Whip Jim Clyburn, who's sort of famously sort of on the more moderate conservative wing of the Democratic Party, and from progressives, I think would suggest that there's some level of vote consolidation there.
Are you surprised he's gotten as many high-profile endorsements this early?
It's interesting. I don't really have a great baseline for comparison because this is such a different primary.
Yeah.
But it would seem to suggest that there's some, like, one of the things that political scientists often look for is what people call the invisible primary, which is like parties consolidating their support behind a candidate who, like, this is the official mm-hmm. candidate of the party, right? Is one way of influencing voters' choices. And that, you know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. This race is kind of interesting because it seems like in terms of like the endorsement race, it's kind of split between Lazary and Barnes, right? Barnes.
Who's endorsed? I feel like Barnes has gotten some.
He has some major
Elizabeth
national.
Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders,
AOC.
Cory Booker.
But even like somebody like Clyburn, another kind of pretty important person in the party. Also think about the sort of party organizational structure is mm-hmm. pretty significant. You look at the state and local level, a number of state reps, you've got a number of municipal mayors as well. The thing that Lazary has going for him is he's sort of consolidated some support within Milwaukee County, which can be pretty significant in turnout. If you think about like the primary electorate, it's now sort of cliche to say, is like, it's a much different electorate than the statewide one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Dane County, it's Milwaukee County, it's some smaller municipalities that lean more Democratic. But it's, if you look at Lazary's endorsements, it's, the county executive in Milwaukee, the mayor of Milwaukee, a number of members of the Milwaukee Common Council, and then labor, which I see as the other sort of big organizational force. I mean, it's, I guess, you can focus on something like the debate and like were there fireworks in the debate or not. It kind of doesn't matter as much in a primary. What matters is the endorsements and actually who is out there getting people out to vote. And so I think it's interesting. You do see some divisions within sort of major labor organizations. A lot of unions in Milwaukee are for Lazary, and then some, I think, statewide organizations for Barnes. I'm probably missing a few details of that. So if you think I'm wrong, I probably am. I mean, but go to the websites and you can kind of see. I think it's fair to say that there's some division there. So, I mean, that's sort of where it seems to fall right now. And Nelson getting out of the race would seem to suggest that you're going to see maybe some more progressive consolidation behind Barnes. And maybe, this is sort of the tête-à-tête, I think, going into, 2 weeks into the primary that we're going to see. Did I sound like a political prognosticator? Did I sound like a pundit there? You know, saying something with also saying nothing at all? You see why I don't do this?
I mean, you sound like basically every podcast I listen to on the regular, so it's great. So I guess thinking about... So do you think there's any chance that Sarah Gadlewski... It's basically... In your punditry, are you pretty confident in saying it's going to be either Lazary or Barnes on the Democratic ticket?
Yeah, I feel, what's Gadlewski's argument that that's not true is that there's still a lot of undecided voters. The last Marquette poll, had 36% undecided, which I think was the largest, choice there. It's plausible that there could be a kind of invisible groundswell of support, but I tend to think about it, she has some endorsements. They're not as, consolidated. So Emily's List, I think, is one of the big endorsers. There's some other kind of movement-based organizations. She has some, I think, state officials, some local officials as well, that are kind of, lining up behind Gadlewski. She obviously also won a statewide election for treasurer, which is not nothing, right? So, it's worth thinking about the fact that she has some connection to the state. I tend to think that when it comes to the sort of operations level of like a primary, that, again, anything is sort of possible, but the endorsements don't just mean like a name. It also means maybe some resources and support of like getting out votes, making some key phone calls, that sort of thing, which would, to me, if I, were to sort of game this out, I would think that you're going to see Lazary or Barnes on the ballot. But again, anything is sort of possible. And
as Stephen Alacar said, shock the world.
Right. I do see a lot of Gadlewski signs, right? Just, colloquially. And it's possible that there's a, kind of a late breaking, finish, right?
But
perhaps there's an endorsement I haven't thought about that's, in the wings that might be really significant that I just haven't thought of that she could lock up. I tend to think that if something like that, a big, endorsement or big kind of campaign event doesn't happen soon, the odds seem somewhat slimmer, which is sort of how I always felt about Tom Nelson's candidacy, which is like not consolidating a bunch of very, very prominent progressive candidates really early would ultimately create problems for him, like getting into the top three or top sort of tier of the of the race. That was always going to be difficult. I think some people have sort of complained that this race has like less fireworks than, if you look at something like the race between Connor Lamb and John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, like a lot of fireworks there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, to one extent, that seems like a misapprehension of like the way that you get votes in Wisconsin. You don't necessarily get votes in a Democratic primary by, rhetorical fireworks.
Owning someone, right?
It's the election is not just like making the arguments, on the campaign trail. It is also about the very like unglamorous work of just like racking up endorsements. Who can who's going to knock for me today? Like, who's going to get my name out there? And if I had to guess based on that and the endorsements, I would think, tend to think at this point, it's like you've got a lot of strength there behind Barnes and Lazary.
So then when you see probably where the kind of chips are falling for the primary, does that differ to who you, with your background, think would, how that would stack up against actually running against Ron Johnson? Because I think there's a lot of people who obviously don't believe this, but there's a lot of people who just think it's hard to believe that Barnes would beat Ron Johnson in a statewide election.
Yeah, I mean, it's tight. It's tight on the matchup polls that Marquette does. But there's also a lot of undecideds in those polls.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy to me.
Well, right. But it sort of makes it, I think it's crazy to us because, like, we think about this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And that really isn't the way that most people engage with politics. And that is what it is.
I think it's mostly just because Ron Johnson is such a divisive character.
Sure.
So well, I think people not be decided.
Well, I think the thing is, I think people have made up their minds about him. I think his undecideds are fairly low.
Okay.
If I recall correctly, I could be wrong about that. And if I am, you know,
I think it's down to 14% that still don't have enough information to have.
Oh, okay. So that's higher than I thought it was. Never mind.
It's
pretend
always
I didn't
higher
say
than you think it would be
yes.
for how long he's been in office and how many things he's said.
Yeah.
And it's time in office,
you know, but I do sort of think if you think about whose undecideds are the lowest, it's always executive branch figures, right? It's always a president. Maybe even a governor would have lower undecideds than a senator. Senators sort of in a legislature, one advantage of that is if something bad happens, you can say it was, you know, those other people, you know. But he has made a number of statements that have gotten press that are like the sending the fake electors, the bunch of stuff about COVID.
I don't care if John's cooking Oshkosh.
Right. It's, you would think... And maybe there's some like...
It's not the government's responsibility to take care of your kids.
Yes.
But we're going to make you have them.
Right. The, you know, you would think the undecideds would be lower, but it could just be that he has a very bland name. Ron Johnson is, you know, who knows? This is not political science what I'm doing here. But it's, you know, in thinking about why there might be more undecideds, that could be it. It's like, who is that? But in terms of like who could beat him, I mean, I think it's really hard to say. You know, it doesn't seem like any candidate has a special, you know,
advantage.
Gaps or advantage. You know,
yeah.
I think that it a lot
it just
about
comes
it
comes down to running a good campaign,
right? And ultimately, like if Democrats are going to, you know, win, I think in November they have got to place, you know, some emphasis on things like abortion is a huge aspect of it. Johnson's comments about that. I think they probably need to go on the offense on inflation. You know, Republicans have tried to like own that issue. Interestingly, it didn't really come up at the lieutenant governor or at the governor's thing, which I guess you could, you know, it makes some sense because inflation is a global phenomenon, but that is
that hasn't stopped the
commercials know that.
Trying
you
to
wouldn't
blame
know that
Evers
from,
for
yes.
inflation.
The
speaking
biggest,
of which,
yeah.
What do you have thoughts on that? Because we have 3 minutes left, but do you have thoughts on the strength or weaknesses of the gubernatorial candidates?
I think Evers is going to be able to localize the race.
Interesting.
I think he's going to be able to make this really about, you know, what's going on in Wisconsin. I think he'll be able to make it about issues of abortion. I think his candidates are extreme enough on some of these issues that I think he'll be able to use that to his advantage, which is why I think in the national sort of projections, the projections for the race sort of lean Democratic at that point to the extent that people want to take stock in them. That could change, obviously, in the fall. I think it's obvious. It's certainly close. I think he has some advantages as a governor. I think his approval rating has always hovered above. He's always bested the party's approval rating. He's always bested Biden's. And I think that people have a sense of him as somehow distinct. That will be the main thing, especially among independents, treating him as a different kind of political entity. And the race is distinctive from the national race, I think might matter a lot. If it's a wave election and it's just, you know, Republicans doing what Republicans, you know, would do at a midterm where Democrats control Congress and the White House, I think there are more problems there. But I think Evers might be more capable of localizing the race.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't, by the way, don't like to do projections. Not when you know, it's like I've studiously avoided studying things in my career where that is an ask because it is so easy to be wrong. And
we're not in the business of making predictions.
Yeah, I don't make predictions because in part it's like, you know, I've always seen politics as something that you study to give people a better sense of how to like go out and engage in it rather than predict it as if it's like the weather.
Yes. You know? Fair enough. All right. Well, we're going to take one more break. And then when we come back, there's a new meditation app that we want to talk about.
Very excited.
All right. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Fry.